Right, so I wanted to speak about Shavuos, the different minhagim of Shavuos. It's interesting because Shavuos is a yontif where there are no mitzvos to do.
Cheesecake.
Well, that's the minhag. We're talking about the minhagim, right? We might wish it was a mitzvah, but yeah. Really, it's the what you have on Shavuos is a lot of different minhagim Yisrael. That's the way we observe Shavuos. The only mitzvah of Shavuos in the Torah is not to work on Shavuos, to make a yontif and not to work. The Shavuos is referred to in the Mishnayos with the word atzeres. It's interesting because in the Chumash, Shmini Atzeres is called Atzeres. It says Atzeres Tielachem. It also refers to the last day of Pesach as Atzeres in the Torah. And the Torah does not refer to Shavuos as Atzeres. But yet the Mishnah, when it talks about Shavuos, it always calls it Atzeres. So there's a lot of discussion as to why Shavuos is referred to as Atzeres. What does it mean? One simple meaning which is said is that the word Atzeres means to refrain, to stop. You go to Israel nowadays in modern Ivrit, so on the stop signs it says Atzor, stop. So Atzeres is to stop, meaning being because the only mitzvah you have on Atzeres is to stop, to refrain from malacha. That's it. So it's the only yantif where you get this idea of Atzeres. There's nothing for you to do, no matzah to eat, no shofar to blow, no sukkah to build. It's just stopping work, and that's yantif. So it's interesting to note that Shavuos has no mitzvos, it just has minhagim. As an aside, what this means for us, I think, you know, the Sefer HaChinuch asks a question, an obvious question when you think about it. He says, I understand why on Shabbos we don't do work. That's what Shabbos is all about. Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. On Yantif, why is there an issue to do work on Yantif? It's not recognizing Hashem resting, because Hashem did not rest on Yantif Kevyochol. Hashem worked harder, as it were. He was doing miracles. He was giving the Torah. He was doing the Makos. So why is it that you can't do malacha on yantif? It doesn't fit the idea of refraining from malacha. So Sefer HaChinuch says very simply that part of not doing malacha is giving you time in the day to contemplate about the ideas of yantif. If you had a normal day at work, and plus you had yantif, so you would lose yantif because you're going through the daily grind. Because there's an isser malacha, now you have time to hold back and to think about the meaning of the day. That's the concept the Sefer HaChinuch says about Yontif. So I think on Shavuos, where all we do is not work, maybe it's doubly important to think about the meaning of the day, because there's no mitzvah you're doing which is going to zone you in. You're not sitting down in a sukkah, you're not eating matzah and hearing a shofar. So you have to do is think for yourself what the meaning of the day is, which namely is Matan Torah. But that's what Shavuos is. So it's important to note that all the things we do on Shavuos are minhagim. There is nothing you have to do in the Torah which is a deraisa. It's all minhagim. But there are a lot of famous minhagim for Shavuos. I think I'll try to talk about a few of them. Number one, I'll just list a few and then we'll go through them a little bit. Number one is there's a minhag to decorate the shul with greenery, with flowers, or grasses, or little trees, some do. We'll talk about the meaning of that. Obviously, the minhag of having milchiks is a major minhag on Shavuos. To eat milchiks at some meals, all your meals, half a meal. We'll talk about that a little bit. The minhag of staying up all night learning. That's a very famous minhag, very common minhag to do. So these are practices on Shavuos, which are minhagim, which add a lot to the day and give us meaning, but they're not at all obligations in the Torah. We read Rus on Shavuos. That's a minhag as well, to read the book of Rus on Shavuos. A lot of things, but for us, this kind of frames Shavuos and gives it its unique place in the year. We have to understand what these things are, and why are these minhagim of Shavuos? Why are they so important? So let's start with the first one I mentioned, which is there's a minhag to decorate the shul with greenery. So what's brought down in the Ramah, he says asavim, like grasses, like different types of, I guess, like, you know, shrubs or grasses and the like. Where does that come from? So the Ramah says it's Zecher v'Simchas Matan Torah. It's supposed to be a remembrance of the joy of Matan Torah. And the Mishnah Berurah explains because Har Sinai was covered in grass. So you'll say, why is that so special? I mean, everything's covered in grass. So I think the pshat is that it's the middle of the desert. And usually in the desert you don't find things covered in grass. It was a nace that Har Sinai was covered in grass. That wasn't expected there because you're in the middle of the desert. Everything around you is dry, it's sand, there's nothing there. And suddenly this beautiful green mountain covered in grass. It's clear it had grass on it from the pasuk in the Torah. It says that the animals shouldn't graze on the mountain. So that implies that there was a grass to graze upon and they weren't allowed to graze on it. So because Har Sinai was flourishing with grass, therefore we have a minhag to decorate the shul with grass. it's more common to see flowers, I think, than like grass. But the idea is to put greenery in the shul to kind of reminisce about Har Sinai and Matan Torah. Now, why is that so important? I mean, why do we have to mark, of all things, why do we mark that there was grass at Har Sinai? So I think there's a few different points. Number one, we know that the idea of a yantif is never just to remember what was there, but to sort of relive the moments. Like on Pesach, you don't just talk about Yitzis Mitzrayim, you relive it. You eat your matzah, you have your maror, some act out the makos, Sfardim do that, they'll act out the makos. So you want to relive those miracles. On Sukkot, you're also reliving it. You're sitting in the sukkah. You're actually sitting inside that protection of Hashem. You're reliving the miracle. What we do on Shavuos is to relive Matan Torah. So we don't have any obligations, but when you decorate this shul in a way that resembles Har Sinai, you're actually placing yourself sort of in the context of Har Sinai. You're kind of reliving those moments. And when you hear them leaning from the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, and you're standing there amongst the grass-decorated shul, so that should help you tap into what it meant to stand at Har Sinai, because you're listening to the same words Hashem spoke, and you're sitting in, I mean, it's not quite the same as being in the desert at a mountain, but you're sitting within that grass. When you see the grass in the shul, kind of puts you into the mood, kind of puts you into that scene. And it's always important to recognize the Yantif is a way to relive it, it's not just a way to reminisce about it. So we relive those moments based on decorating the shul with grass, and listening to Aseres HaDibros. And furthermore, the idea that the vegetation grew on Har Sinai is also, it's an interesting thing. Like, why did Hashem make such a miracle? Why was it important to Hashem that Har Sinai should have grass upon it? So you could say it's just covered a Torah. You know, it would be a dishonor to the Torah if the mountain was just some dreary desert mountain, just, you know, sand and rocks, and it didn't look pretty. So Hashem wanted to be sure that it looked pretty, so He made the mountain grow grass and grow flowers, etc. So that's one understanding of it. But I think there's another idea as well, which is that it's a symbolic point. Now, the Torah is meant to help us all flourish and grow as well. Vegetation in the world represents, you know, being fruitful, growing, growth, you know, being alive, being fresh. And the idea of Torah is that it should help the human being grow, flourish, be alive, be fresh. So the context, the mountain in which the Torah was given, that very mountain symbolizes for us the idea of the human being growing. As people, they're growing in character, growing in mitzvos, growing in midos, growing into what a human being is supposed to be. So that having the grass around is a symbol of growth for us. And that's part of the idea of Matan Torah. The minhag, as I mentioned it, was to put grass in the shul. Now additionally, I actually found this. We were worried about you. You went to the wrong place.
I really lost it.
Oh, sorry. What?
I didn't
add
it to my
email. I'm glad you found this.
Really.
So beyond the grass, there's a minhag brought down the Magen Avraham and put trees in the shul to decorate the shul with trees. This was actually very controversial, to put trees in the shul, if you can imagine, because, you know, the non-Jews also put trees for their holiday. And starting from the Gra, maybe even before, definitely after, we know the Gra was very against putting trees in the shul, maybe in grass for that purpose. Chukos HaGoyim. You can't put a tree in the shul because it resembles what the Christians do. And therefore, he outlawed the minhag of putting trees in the shul. It's a question if that would also include grass or not. Because they don't put grass, they put trees. So some say that the Vilna Gaon also did not like having grass in the shul. We're not sure about that. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says that as well, that even the grass would be usur. Rav Shlomo Zalman held that grass was okay to do. So each shul will follow their minhag. I mean, every shul has their minhag and they'll follow that. I don't think I've ever noticed trees in shuls. I think that's because that fits with the Vilna Gaon's point not to have a tree in a shul. I have seen definitely flowers, you know, decorating shuls on Shavuos time, and that's appropriate, but every shul follow the minhag. I guarantee in shuls that are strict about following the minhagim of the Vilna Gaon, they probably don't put anything in the shul. That I would assume.
Have you ever seen grass in a shul?
I've never seen grass.
I've never seen grass, especially flowers, what I see.
Flowers.
Greenery. Yeah, greenery, plants, yeah, right. Greenery. Right, I haven't seen the grass. But the grass is what's the original minhag brought down, was grass. I'm not sure how to do grass, it would just be a mess.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I don't know what you would do. It says asavim is what the Rama says, you put asavim in the shul. Now, why was there an idea of putting out trees? I mean, the Vilna Gaon didn't like the trees because of the idea of Chukos HaGoyim, but why was there a minhag to put trees out? So that speaks to another central point of Shavuot. The Mishnah says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that there's actually four Rosh Hashanahs of the year. There's four times in the year we're judged. It says we're judged on Sukkot for water, which is why Hoshana Rabba, you take your Ravos, you daven for water. We're judged on Pesach for grains, which corresponds with the Karban Omer v'Shishvar on Pesach, and that's when Chadash becomes Mutter. It's time where we talk about grains. We're judged Rosh Hashanah as people, the entire person's judged, and we're judged on Shavuos for fruit. So therefore, there's a minhag to put fruits out in the to put trees out in the shul, because you have to recognize that we're being judged on Shavuos on the trees. So it focuses you in on davening for that purpose. So whether you have a tree in your shul or not, we have to recognize that we are judged on Shavuos on fruits for the year. That's the judgment on Shavuos. But having that model helped us focus in our davening. So we don't have that model, but that model was actually a model that we used to help us have more kavanah in davening. So that's the minhag of decorating the shul with flowers or grass or trees, etc. And I think the most famous minhag and the most cherished minhag on Shavuos is eating milchiks. Everyone seems to very much like eating milchiks on Shavuos. No.
Except my husband and my son.
Except your husband, oh. Okay.
So most guys are like...
You give me my meat. Right. Right. I like the ice cream for dessert. I like that part.
You know? Cheesecake
and ice cream. And, yeah. Right. So the minhag of eating milchiks on Shavuos, there's a lot of different sources for this, a lot of different ideas, explanations for it. So I want to go through, I'll mention the famous ones, some less than famous ones, and then I want to get into a deeper idea about it. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes and says, what's the reason to eat milchiks on Shavuos? And he gives the most famous reason, which I'm sure you've all heard before, the day of Matan Torah, Har Sinai, they had to eat. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain, and for them to prepare meat at that moment, very difficult. Now, making kosher meat is a labor. You have to know how to shecht it, and how to salt it, and how to take out the veins, that are, and to get a nush, and all the, there's a lot to do to make kosher meat. So everyone said, okay, we'll have milchiks today. We'll deal with the meat tomorrow. So that's the idea that Mishnah Berurah says. So being that on that very first matan, very first Shavuos, they ate milchiks, we do the same thing. But many other reasons are given as well. For instance, the Torah is compared in the pasuk in Shir Shirim to dvash v'cholav, honey and milk. It says dvash v'cholav tachas l'shonich, that there's honey and milk under your tongue, which is a mashal for Torah. So being that Torah is compared to milk, we have milk on Shavuos. I guess in that respect, you have honey as well, which I haven't seen as a minhag, but that would also fit with the pasuk of Shir Shirim of dvash v'cholav tachas l'shonich. Cholav is gematria 40. 40 is the way Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain for 40 days. So it's a gematria of 40, which corresponds to Moshe's time on the mountain. It's interesting as well, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you do your math, you could figure it out. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, was born on the 7th of Adar. He was hidden away for 3 months by his mother before they had to put him into the Nile. He was put into the Nile on Shavuos. That's 3 months after Zion Adar. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was also saved on that day, because the same day he's put into the water. That's when Bas Parah came over and saved him from the Nile. And that's when she sent him back to his mother to nurse. So that was a big nes which occurred, that Moshe Rabbeinu was saved. Not only that, he was able to go back and nurse from his own mother. And that was a tremendous nes. That nes happened on Shavuos. It was that same date. So we eat milchiks. One reason given is to mark the nes that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to nurse milk from his mother. So, and it's also very appropriate, by the way, that Moshe Rabbeinu was saved that day, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who brought us the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu's day of salvation, the day in which he was saved, his life was preserved, was Shavuos. And then on that same day, 81 years later, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to give us the Torah on that same day that he was saved. There's a mashal given as well. The Torah is like milk, not just because it says it's, not just because of the pasuk, but there's another idea of the mashal. The other idea is the following. The same way that a nursing mother, the more the baby nurses, the more milk is produced. When the baby stops, a mother says, I have to go away on vacation for a few days, and then she stops nursing because the baby stopped drinking. But as long as that baby is drinking, the mother produces milk. Torah is the same way. The more that we try to pull out of Torah, the more we get out of Torah. If we stop, the Torah also stops giving to us. So the idea of Torah is like a nursing mother's milk is a very appropriate mashal. And that's the idea, that the more one studies, the more one learns, the more one delves in Torah, the more one can pull out of Torah. So that all speaks to the idea of eating milchiks being something in and of itself on Shavuos, And these are all ideas of milk being symbolic of either that very first Shavuos or symbolic of Torah. So that's all based on the Mishnah Berurah and based on one, I guess, one approach to the minhag. The approach of the Ramah is very different. The Ramah approach to the minhag, and it's actually interesting because the Ramah usually is the main source for our minhagim and halacha, certainly for Ashkenazim. And when it comes to this, many focus on the other reasons given, not the Ramah's reason. But the Ramah gives a different reason. And the Ramah's reason seems to be that milk isn't the point. The point's something different. He says that what we're trying to do is remember the Shtei Lechem. On Shavuos in the Beis Hamikdash, a special carbon, it was called the Shtei Lechem. There were two loaves of bread that were made. These loaves were actually wheat, chametz dik, bread. The rest of the year in the Beis Hamikdash, everything was only matzah. They didn't have any chametz in the Beis Hamikdash all year long. But on Shavuos, they had this special carbon called Shtei Lechem. It was wheat, chametz dik, bread. We, unfortunately, can't bring that carbon because we don't have Beis Hamikdash. But we want to be able to remember that carbon. So what do? There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to eat the same loaf of bread they had with milchichs with fleishichs or vice versa. So just to know, for instance, you know, if you have a loaf of bread on the table and you're all making salami sandwiches, so now I want to put it away and take it out for cheese sandwiches tomorrow. I can't do that because being that loaf is on the table with all the meat, I can't have it with a cheese meal. The concern being that people's hands touched it and you got some of your salami grease onto the bread, and therefore when you put it on your cheese tomorrow, it's going to be milk, it's going to be basar b'chalav. That's the concern. But that's a halacha. So based on that, we want to obligate ourselves to have two breads on Shavuos. Why? Because shtei halechem, the carbon was two breads. So what do? The Ramah says, you have a milchig appetizer, and you bring out your first bread, and you eat some challah. But then you want to have a fleishik meal. You can't have the same bread because you had it with milchiks. So you have to clear away the milchiks, clear away the bread, and then bring out the fleishiks, bring out another loaf of bread. And that has then, even though we always have two breads on Shabbos and Yontif, but those two breads, you're not like forced to eat from both of them, let's say. I'm doing it this way is forcing you that you must eat from both because you're not allowed to have the other one. On Shabbos, you're having lecha mishnah. If you eat a lot of challah, you want two, you can eat two. If you want to eat one, you can eat one. On Shavuos, having a meal in this manner, where you have this split meal, milchiks and then fleishiks, you're forced to have two. So the Ramah's point is that it's not about having milchiks. Milchiks is merely just something that you have to have so that you can accomplish having two loaves of bread on the table. That's the goal. Why can't I put out two loaves of bread? Because then again, I'm not obligated to eat milk. I want to obligate them. That's what I want to do. That's how Ramah explains it. As an aside, if you do this, there's a procedure because you don't want to mix up the milchiks and fleishiks. So now many have the minhag not to have fleishiks within an hour of milchiks or half an hour of milchiks. Many have that minhag. If that's your minhag, that makes this kind of difficult because you can't really have your meal and have to wait around for an hour in between. The ikar halacha is they don't have to wait between milchiks to fleishiks. The main halacha is that you can clear the table, replace the tablecloth. You should have a drink, have something parv to eat as well, make sure your hands are clean, and then you can go ahead and eat your fleishiks. That's the main halacha. If you're makbid on, it's the Zohar, which says you shouldn't have within the same hour. If you're makbid on that, then probably that's not the minhag to go with, I guess. But the Mishnah Berurah says you could do this, and this is the ikar din in terms of milchiks to fleishiks, is just, again, clearing off the table, changing tablecloths, having a drink, eating something parv, and washing your hands. If you do that, then you're in good shape. We try to do this in my house most years when it's practical. I mean, it's a little, just the logistics are a little complicated sometimes.
For every meal?
Just for one meal. You try to do it for one meal usually. Then you have to deal with the ovens and then you have to make sure the table is clear properly. There are logistics involved which are a little bit complicated, but if you manage it, that's how the Ramah says to do it. So this is the idea of the Shtei HaLechem. So again, the concept is not the milk, the concept is the Shtei HaLechem. According to the Ramah, having a cheesecake kiddush won't do the trick because you're not bringing out two loaves of bread to eat at a cheesecake kiddush. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it would because he says the idea is to resemble the original Shavuos where they ate milchiks. So there's different ramifications of each minhag.
What if you had milchik kiddush, you know, cheesecake, and then you had two loaves of bread for the fleishiks that
right, because then you haven't forced yourself into two loaves of bread. Oh. You always have two loaves of bread at a Yontif meal, right? The idea is that the concept here is that you're forcing two loaves of bread. You must have two loaves of bread. That's what you're doing over here. So what's the, so we see over here that there is a focus. You want to remember the Shtei Lechem. The Shtei Lechem is a unique karbon, and it's one of the only two karbonos of the whole year that were chametz dik. All the other flour karbonos are always matzah. They were not chametz. They're kosher for Pesach. The rest of the year, this is mikdash. Besides these two, there's this, and there was loaves of the karbon toda. It was the other one. But the why are we going out of our way to make a remembrance of this karbon? I mean, many karbonos are brought on Yantif. Every Yantif has a musaf. The Karban Omer is brought on Pesach. There are a lot of things that are brought, and we don't make a special minhag to remember them. But yet, there's a special push, a special minhag, which has become very popular, that we have Milchuk San Shavuos, which is supposed to bring us to remember the Shtei Lechem. So what's so significant about that? So I want to discuss maybe for a minute the one of the ideas of Shtei Lechem and why it really speaks the heart of Shavuos, and that's why it's so important for us to remember it. There's a very, very important message to Shavuos. There's a message which you find in many different contexts about Matan Torah, about Shavuos, about Har Sinai. I think I may have spoken about it maybe a year or two ago in this class also, but maybe I'm going to look a little bit differently now. The Torah is meant to be given to the human being. The animals are a very different creature than humans are. Humans have animal instincts, the humans have animal parts to them, but the Torah was meant to be given not to an animal, to a human being. Part of the idea of building up of Sfiras Omer from Pesach to Shavuos is that we're developing human traits, developing midos, developing spirituality. We're focusing in on ourselves as humans because humans have good midos, humans have derech eretz, humans grow. Animals don't do that. Animals just follow their base instincts, that's all they are. And the Torah is meant to be given not to an animal, but to a human being. That's one of the, a big premise of Shavuos. You find this in many sources, that Shavuos is the day where the human being sort of steps up into his or her role, that I am the Adam. I am what Adam is supposed to be. And therefore I can receive the Torah. I'll speak more about that in a minute. But this stands, I think, very much in contrast to certain views out there nowadays in society, that a human is just another kind of animal. We're sophisticated animals, we're smart animals. You know, we have more skills in terms of speech, and maybe we have higher intelligence. But we're just another animal. That's a big element of our society believes that. The humans are just another form of animal, just a higher form of animal. And therefore they feel guilty. You know, I saw a bumper sticker that says, it's for a vegetarian, and it said, I don't eat other animals. You know? So like, I don't understand it because, you know, lions eat deer also. Like, I don't really understand what that means in the first place. But animals eat animals too. But
not that one that owns the bumpus.
I guess not. Right. But that whole viewpoint stands up totally dead against the Torah Shkafa. Because we understand, you know, Nasa Adam was an entirely different creation than the rest of the animals were. Animals were a creation. Animals have a lot to offer society. Animals have a lot of skills. Animals have a lot of beauty. And animals are very intelligent. Some yes, some no. But humans are a different plane. And you can never have the two cross over. So I wanted to go through with you. It's long. We'll try to skip around a little bit. This is a piece. I'm going to pass it around in a sefer. It's called Yerach Lemo'adim. This is written by Rabbi Rucham Olshin, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood. And he has a long piece here discussing the minhag of having milchiks. He takes this angle of how the mitzvah of Shtei Lechem is the focus, and the concept we're focusing on is the human being stepping up into his role as to be a human being. So you'll see more what I mean as we go through it. I put a star where I want to start. It's a little bit of a long piece, but we'll try to get through some parts, but he makes a very, very significant point, which I think is very meaningful for all of us. So on page Reish Sadivav, by the star on the bottom of the page. So he says, Asher Nira Lomar, he eats the Medrash, he quotes the Medrash.
Where?
See where it is? Reish Sadivav. Did I make the wrong copies? Or so it's the wrong side. Here, flip it over. Right to left, yeah. Right to left.
There we go.
There you go. Okay. Page Reish Sadivav. It's right to left. I stapled it on the right side.
Vav is here.
Reish Sadivav.
Okay.
That should be the front page. Yeah, the front page. The front page. But the front comes going right to left. Yeah. Right there.
You're
on that page.
I'm going
to pull
that over.
Over here. Yeah. This one. Yeah. Okay. Good. So he quotes the Medrash. B'sha sheba levaros es Adam Rishon. When Hashem came to create Adam, nimlach malach hasharis. He went to discuss it with the malachim. This is a common theme you find a lot in Midrashim. Whatever that means, Hashem consulting with malachim before he creates man. Vamar lehem nasa Adam etzemir k'nusenu. So he said to the malachim, let us make man. Amr lo, Adam zematibo. They said to him, well, what's this man all about? Why should we create man? Amr lehem, so Hashem told the malachim, Sadikim om demenu. He will produce Sadikim. So they said, great. Let's skip down to the next paragraph. But the Medrash continues and says that man will produce Sadikim, but Hashem did not tell the Malachim that also man will produce Rishayim. Mm-hmm. So it's a game. It's such a funny thing. Hashem was lying, Chas v'Shalom. Hashem was playing a game with the Malachim. He was deceiving them. What exactly does it mean that they'll produce Sadikim, but Hashem did not disclose that man will make Rishayim as well? So look at down in the next paragraph. V'tama agon Rav Yonasan Aibashitz atzal. B'yaros tevash. So Rav Yonasan Aibashitz, he was astonished by this medrash. You know, rightfully so. Maybe that Hashem concealed from them this fact. He says, V'tzarach bir, d'chas v'shom shia k'shvarcha m'shaker malachim malo. He says, chas v'shom, that Hashem should be lying to malachim. It doesn't make any sense. Maze de'gila b'miktsas, v'helim b'miktsas. So what does it mean that Hashem revealed a little bit about man, and he concealed the other part of it? What does that mean exactly? And also, if he's going to consult with them, it's not very good consulting if you don't give all the information over. Imagine you hire a consultant for a business, you're paying thousands of dollars, and you only tell them about a quarter of the business. You hold back information, and it's going to be a waste of your time to consult with them because you're not giving the information to work with. So if Hashem's consulting with Malachim, besides the fact it sounds like he's being deceptive or lying, chas v'shalom, it doesn't mean to consult with them. It doesn't make sense. Kolomar de'eich hister k'shbarchu min ha'malachim b'riyas ha'rishayim. How could Hashem conceal from the malachim the creation of Rishayim? L'mur chazal, we know chazal teach us chosamo sh'k'shbarchu emes, that Hashem's seal is truth, v'tzarach iyan. So this medrash which discusses the creation of man, it's a very funny point. Hashem didn't want to talk about the Rishayim that would be produced. Hashem knew what's going to happen. Hashem knew they had free choice. Hashem knows the future.
They have free choice, so they're not originally Rishayim.
Oh, good. So you're hitting on a very important point. Right, so we're going to see that. Thank you. But I mean, the point being made is that maybe human being essentially is a tzaddik, and we choose to make the wrong decisions, which we'll talk about. Very good. So look at the next paragraph. V'nira levar divrei medrash. So let's explain this medrash based on the Rambam and Pirshei Mishnayos. So we're going to quote the Rambam, and this Rambam will help us understand what this medrash is talking about. V'amar, kol Yisrael yishlam chelk v'olam haba. En aroy l'mishu rotzeh she'ovim mi'ava. So we know that it says in the Mishnah that every single Yisrael, every Jew, has a chelk v'olam haba. So we say, v'en aroy l'mishu rotzeh she'ovim mi'ava. So somebody who should serve Hashem out of love should not serve just to get rewarded in Olam Haba. So you should serve Hashem in the following manner. We understand that there's wisdom and there's a Torah. And this Torah came to Nevi'im from Hashem. And Hashem told the Nevi'im and told us what are the midos tovos, what are the right things to do, which is mitzvos. V'amidos ro, so what are bad midos, what should you not do, which is averos. Roy lo mitzachu adam yashar b'mezeg. So this fits the human being, because the human being is created yashar. We are created straight. We are created to be righteous. That's the natural state. Sha'asa tovos yasar miros, that we should do good and avoid evil. Okay, so yasa zeh, when you do right, when you follow the Torah, when you develop midos tovos and do mitzvos, in that way you perfect the human race and you become distinct from an animal. So when a person is complete, what you're doing is fulfilling your own nature. The nature of a human being is to be proper, is to be a tzaddik, is to be yashar. If you don't do that, then you're not acting as a human, you're acting as an animal. Because the human by definition is a tzaddik. The human by definition is yashar. And that's what it says in Tehillim, El tiyeh kasus keferid, you should not be like a horse, like a mule, ein havin, who doesn't understand, mesik v'resen adav livlum. He has the bit in his mouth, and he's closed up. So we're giving a directive, don't be like an animal, be like a human being. What's that directive? Do mitzvos, have minos tovos, then you're acting by like your nature, which is to be a human. If not, then you're no longer distinct from an animal anymore. So the Rambam is teaching us a tremendous yesod. We shouldn't think that somebody who's being over a mitzvos is considered adam. But we don't, just that their deeds aren't appropriate. Rather, the person is no longer called an adam, the person is a behema. Because the person is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Like the pasuk says in Tehillim, like a horse or like a mule who doesn't understand. If you do mitzvos and don't do averos, then you can be called an adam. Just to clarify that point for a second, it sounds a little bit harsh. Well, let's go back to the I don't eat other animals person, right? That person understands that he or she is like much smarter, much more developed, much more cultured than an animal. You could be an animal, just a very high level animal. You know, that's not that person's looking down at themselves. I'm just an animal. I mean, an animal, it doesn't mean that you're bad. Animal means that you're just not living up to what it means to be a human being. Hashem made something called an Adam. Adam is meant to be performing mitzvos, working on midos, reaching out to the world of ruchnias. That's what Adam is made for. Animals aren't meant to do that. So you could be a very high class, sophisticated, intelligent animal, and that's not saying, oh, you're a rat, you're a mouse, you're a snake, you're disgusting. It's saying that you're not living up to what Adam is made to do. Adam is made to serve a Kosh Baruch Hu. Adam is made to be distinct from the entire animal world, in every single way possible. That's an Adam. When Hashem said Nasa Adam and created Adam and Chava, there was a vision as to what Adam is supposed to be. Adam was given certain qualities and talents, and if they use those talents and those qualities, they naturally fall into the realm of Adam, which is Yashar and Tzaddik. But if not, they've come into the world of Behema. That's the person that's come. It's a pasuk. It says in Mishnah, Elkim, in Kohelis, I think, Elkim baras Adam Yashar. Hashem made Adam Yashar, straight. And they have all these calculations. They mess things up. You know, we make the wrong choices. But Adam is made naturally Yashar. Naturally, we do the right things. And the choices we make can cause us to then fall back into the animal world. But yet, we don't have to be that way. If we just follow our natural compass, which when it's untainted is pushing us in the right direction, as Yetzirah Tov, that's where we should be going, and that brings us into the realm of Adam, where Adam is supposed to be. So he continues and says in the next paragraph here, Me'ata yishtafar shapizze mash amru chazal. Now we can understand the Medrash. Kasher amar akash baruch l'malach yasharis nasa Adam. When Hashem said to the Melachim, let's make man, he consulted with them. So he only told them about tzaddikim. He didn't mention Rashaim. What's the idea? Gilam Raksha Tzadikim Omdim Imenu, Hashem revealed that Tzadikim will come out of Adam. Hashem did not mention Rishayim. Kib emes rakat tzaddik zochel to Adam, because only a tzaddik is called Adam. If you're acting as a Rasha, you're not called Adam anymore. That wasn't included in Asa Adam. That person has fallen back into the realm of Behema or Chaya, but not Adam. A Rasha ainu bechal Adam klal. Rasha is not called an Adam. Hashem in his mind said Adam is meant to be tzaddikim. Even though Rishayim might develop, that's no longer in the realm of Adam. That Rasha which comes out of Adam is now falls down into Behemoth, it's not called Adam anymore. So that wasn't included in that phrase. So Hashem was not lying to the Melachim. He wasn't holding back information. Hashem was being totally precise. Nasa Adam means I'm creating tzaddikim right now. If they choose to then end up being Rishayim, that's no longer what Adam is. They're not fulfilling that title Adam anymore. And that's no longer going to be part of my Nasa Adam. That's not there. So that's the idea of what he said to the Melachim. Let's skip to the next paragraph. So I'll fill in a blank over here. Now on page Reish Ches Tzadi. Nasa Adam Niskayim Benasa Benishma. Reish Ches Tzadi. There you go. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
So just to fill in one point, an important point. We know that Adam and Chava were created to be the Adam of the world. They sinned, and they fell down a level. Hashem waited until Har Sinai to bring us back up to that level once again. Maimon Har Sinai was meant to be the moment where we restore the Tzuras Adam. We restore what it means to be Adam. And that was meant that was waiting for Maimon Har Sinai. Adam Rishon and Chava blew it, and now Hashem is waiting for Matan Torah to bring back a people to that level. So he quotes here that Nasa Adam and Nasa Venishma Har Sinai are connected terms. The Zohar connects these two words. Nasa Adam, Nasa Venishma. Because the creation of the human being, of Adam, was meant to come to its fulfillment at Nasa Venishma, when Klal Yisrael took the Torah. It's meant to come to that stage where we restored what it meant to be Adam, and we took on that role in the world to fulfill what Adam is supposed to be. So he says, the Or Zos Yishtavayar Masha Hevanu B'Shem Zohar Kadosh. Now we can understand the Zohar. The Nasa Adam Koya Masha Amri Yisrael Nasa V'Nishma B'Shas Matan Torah. Nasa Adam, Hashem says, let us make man. That refers to the words Nasa V'Nishma at Har Sinai. Dabir B'Zehu She'ikr B'Riya Zu Shel Adam Niskayma B'Shas Matan Torah K'Shem L'Chazal Yisrael Nasa V'Nishma. Because the main B'Riya, the main creation of Adam, the fulfillment of Adam, that came out into fruition at Har Sinai. When the Jews stood there and said, Nasa V'Nishma, they were saying, we are going to become the Adam that you desired. We are going to step into that title of Adam as was meant to be when Hashem said, Nasa Adam, and didn't mention Rishayim, because Rishayim aren't part of Adam anymore. So we're going to be those Tzadikim. That's what Klal Yisrael said at Har Sinai. Adam without mitzvot, you know, Adam klal, because they understood that Adam without mitzvot is not Adam. V'atulit Torah lo nishlam v'yisot Nasa Adam. So until the Torah was given, Nasa Adam was never totally complete, because there's no one to do mitzvos. The Kach Amru Zohar. So the Zohar says Nasa Adam is kaim b'Nasa v'Nishma. The Nasa Adam will be fulfilled through Nasa v'Nishma. Shmatan Torah Nishlam Tzuras Adam. Matan Torah, the Tzuras Adam was complete. So now we've seen the cycle come out back to Shavuos. Nasa Adam was the vision there should be tzaddikim in the world fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. That had to wait for a long time. And people had sunken down to levels of behema. They weren't fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. At Har Sinai, the opportunity now came that Hashem could have a people who would be Adam, who would be what Adam was supposed to be, who would be a people that would be there to fulfill Hashem's word, and that happened at Har Sinai. We go to the next paragraph. Vod osif api devarim ilu evanti mashakosav ha'agon of Baruch Ber Baruch HaShmuel. So now he's going to quote from Rav Baruch Ber, who says the following. He says, one should never ever think that there's any other way to perfect the human being besides Torah. Had there been any other way to perfect the human being, Hashem would have given to us Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the moments where Hashem is saying, I'm giving you all it takes to become what Adam is supposed to be. Nothing else is needed. Whatever is given Har Sinai, that's what it means to be Adam. Anything else in the world that you think is a smart idea, is good, is helpful, that's obviously not what it means to be an Adam, because we also would have been given to Har Sinai. That's what he says. Reuchiach shebehechrach einon chachma milvad chachmas Torah. There's no other wisdom besides Torah wisdom, sheyashlam la'anoshias, that could complete, perfect your role as a human being. So other chachmos might be helpful, might be useful, it might bring us convenience and understanding, but if it wasn't part of Matan Torah, it wasn't needed to become what Adam is supposed to be. Because if it was needed to be an Adam, then we would have gotten in Har Sinai. So anything which is not given Har Sinai is not part of being Adam. It's just something else. So now, Reish Tzadi Tes. So then he says further, Dvar Shrikham Tam, let's understand this a little better. The last page. Last page, people should be on the left now, I guess. Right.
Wait.
Everyone's staple on the left. There you go. Reish Tzadi Tes. Reish Tzadi Tes. There you go. Okay.
Thank you.
So why is this way? Yes. Hello, Maimon Har Sinai, Hamu Yud Lanisis Torah. Maimon Har Sinai was meant for giving of the Torah. And how does Rav Baruch Ber know? Well, to be an Adam, you have to. It has to be at Maimon Har Sinai. You could easily differentiate. Maimon Har Sinai is about a Torah. It's about halacha. It's about mitzvos. It could be other things out in the world that help us perfect ourselves as human beings. Well, how do you know that Matan Torah has to be everything you need to know to be a human being? You got a Matan Torah. Well, how do you know that? So the answer is very simple, like we've said, because Matan Torah wasn't just the day to get the Torah. It was the day where the human being was supposed to understand how to become a human being. It was the day where Nasa Adam was coming out into its fulfillment. So therefore, Hashem's not going to hold back anything that we need to be an Adam. Hashem's going to give us everything we need to be the ideal human being Hashem envisioned at Bereishis. So that's Matan Torah. Now let's take this back for a second. How does this relate back to Milchiks? That's the question, right? We're trying to talk about Milchiks for a second. So we mentioned that Milchiks is meant to be what brings us to having Shtei Lechem. Right? According to the Ramah, Milchiks is that you want to be able to bring out two loaves of bread at your meal, you have a Milchik appetizer, you bring one loaf of bread, and then a Fleishik meal with another loaf of bread. That's what the Ramah says. So that is trying to for us to remember the Shtei Lechem. The Shtei Lechem is a process. The Sefer HaChinuch says that on the second day of Pesach, they brought the Karban HaOmer. The Karban HaOmer was made out of barley. Barley was classic animal fodder, animal food. He says that on Shavuos, we bring the Shtei Lechem. The Shtei Lechem is wheat bread. Not just wheat bread, chametzdik wheat bread, the staple of human life. So Sefer HaChinuch says that there's a transition going on between Pesach and Shavuos of transitioning from being a behema to being an Adam. There's a carbon brought of barley, and then you count 49 days, and you bring carbon out of wheat. So that's showing the process. The Matan Torah is the day you're supposed to step into the role as Adam. You've left your behema behind, and you've come to Adam on Matan Torah. That's how Sefer Chinuch describes it. So being an Adam is, as Rav Yerucham Ochshin is describing here, is the focal point of Matan Torah. It's not just, let me give a Torah to this nation, they're good people. I took them to Mitzrayim, let's reward them with the Torah. It's that these are the people Hashem was waiting for to be Adam. And we spend all those days between Pesach and Shavuos preparing ourselves to becoming Adam. We had a carbon of barley, and I moved to the carbon of wheat. And that's why it's so important to remember, because it's not just a carbon we bring, but it's a central point of Matan Torah. It's a central point of Shavuos. It's what it's all about. This karma represents you are Adam. That's what the karma represents. That's the Shtei Lechem. It's an amazing karma in that it concludes within it the entire meaning of what it means to be a human being. That's this karma means for us. So we want to remember it at our Shavuos table by having milchiks, and therefore requiring the second loaf of bread and remembering the Shtei Lechem karma in the Beis Hamikdash. So that's how he describes it. No, the famous idea, Derech Eretz Kamal Torah. No, we talk about being a mensch. And, you know, mensch just means Adam, means be a person, be a human being. That's what mensch means. And we say being a mensch means having good midos. And it's true, because there's no such thing as midos with animals. You can train an animal, but for an animal to become patient, compassionate, caring, loving, it doesn't exist. I mean, they could be trained to stay, and they can be trained to sit, and they might come over because they want to eat something, and they'll cuddle up because they want you to give them a bone. But it's not the idea of training on midos. You can't train them on midos. Only human beings have the idea of developing midos, developing character. Derech Eretz Kamal Torah is that you have to develop the Adam in yourself. And then you get the Torah, you're ready to take it on and to become the Adam Hashem envisioned at Bereishis. So that's this idea about Adam. You find a few other places, even in Tehillim, I forgot the exact pasuk, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai and he took Matanos Be'adam, I think is the word, I forgot the exact wording, but it says as an Adam. It actually says it there. Because Har Sinai was about being an Adam, about being that human being. So we can never see ourselves as sophisticated animals. We can never see ourselves as, you know, human beings might do right, might do wrong. Human beings do right. When we're doing wrong, then we've lost the shame Adam. We're no longer acting as Adam. Hashem says, I'm creating tzaddikim. That's what I'm creating over here. Anybody else is not part of Nasa Adam. That's not what it's meant to be. The Torah is the book. The Torah is what teaches us how to become Adam. There's a pasuk in Bereishis that says, "Zeh sefer toldos ha'adam." This is the book of the toldos ha'adam. So one idea of toldos ha'adam, besides being his offspring, I think the Ramban says, this is the book that shows you how to become an Adam. That's, I think the Ramban has a line similar to that. This is what's going to teach you what it means to be Adam. And the whole Sefer Torah is meant to show you, how do you differentiate between a behemoth and Adam? What does an Adam do? It's the manual of how to be an Adam. That's what it is. So the Hashem was awaiting that moment to complete Nas Adam, to complete the Tzuras Adam. And that is, Sefer Omer is bringing us to that point. That's Matan Torah. That's Nasa V'Nishma, and that's the day of Shavuos. So when we bring out our milchiks and Shavuos, if we do it in this way, in this minhag of having milchiks first and then fleishiks at one meal, bring out those two loaves, it's the focus in our own minds that I have to live up to what it means to be that Adam Hashem created at Bereishis. That should be our mindset. Everyone should have a good Yom Tov and good summer.